When I was in the seminary, we had a great priest formator at the seminary, a priest who was sort of in charge of preparing us seminarians to become priests. His name was Father John Cush, and he's a priest of New York City. So I think by now he's probably in his mid-40s, maybe 50, and he still doesn't have his driver's license because when you live in New York City, you just walk everywhere or take public transport. And he was a very smart man, and he was known kind of for his little quips, his quick little sayings to strike to the heart of the matter. Something funny that he would often say is, "Hear me now, believe me later." And he would tell us some bit of wisdom about our lives as future priests. But he would often say something else regarding maybe a challenge that's facing the church. Something that we've done to ourselves that's maybe taken away some of the things that were once attractive about the church. He would say that one of the difficulties, one of the problems with the church today is that we've lost our eschatological edge. As a church, we have lost our eschatological edge. I see a lot of blank faces. Father Ben, what the heck does eschatological mean? What he's trying to get to here is we've stopped talking about the eschaton. We've stopped talking about the last things. Death, judgment, heaven, and hell. We've stopped considering the sort of vertical dimension of our faith, and we focused only on the horizontal. What does that mean? Well, the horizontal is basically our life in this world, just what's happening here. And maybe we've stopped thinking about, well, what's next? What's going to happen after the life that we're living today? So we've stopped really considering the questions about salvation, death, judgment, heaven, or hell. And if we do talk about salvation, if we do talk about being saved, often we talk about it in the context of this concept that everybody's going to be saved. Doesn't matter what you believe, doesn't matter what you do, we're all just going to end up in heaven someday. That's an okay place to be. It's okay if that's what you think. But I would just challenge you to listen to Jesus' words in the gospel, because this is the very content of Jesus' sort of discourse today. Somebody comes up to Jesus and asks him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" Taking sort of the lower end of things. And of course, Jesus never really responds with a straight answer. He's always good at answering questions with other questions. And so he says, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many will strive, but many will not be strong enough." And then he gives us kind of that chilling image of the master closing the door to the house and those standing outside knocking, saying, "We ate and drank with you." And the master saying, "I do not know where you are from." It's like, whoa, that strikes you to the heart. So what are we to do in front of this? In front of this reality, we got to take Jesus at his word that maybe not everybody will be saved. The words of the Savior seem to indicate that. That doesn't mean that he doesn't want it, but maybe it won't be the case. So what are we to do? How do we get strong enough, to use Jesus' own words, to enter through the narrow gate? Well, the answer might not be what you expect, and I must give credit to Sarah Scheinemann, our pastoral associate. Every Wednesday, we gather as a staff, and we pray with the Sunday Gospel. And so when Sarah read this gospel, it struck her. If we want to strive to enter through the narrow gate, we need to be little. If we're trying to go through a small space, we too have to be small. We have to make ourselves little if we want to enter through the narrow gate. That is where our strength lies as Catholics. When I think of little people, I think of children. And isn't that something? Jesus talks all the time about children. In fact, he says, "Unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." St. Paul talks about, "It's in my weakness then that I am strong, because Christ's power is made perfect in weakness." And when you think about a little child, a little kid, somebody who's maybe weak, what are they? They're completely dependent upon their parents. They can't do anything by themselves. Literally, they would die if they didn't have their parents. You hear that, kids? You might die if you didn't have your parents. You need them to take care of you, to provide for you. And so the lesson for all of us who are striving to enter through the narrow gate is to be like children. It's to be little. And that means to be completely dependent. Dependent on who? Dependent on what? Well, ultimately dependent on Jesus and dependent on his church. To realize we cannot be saved on our own. We need the church, and there have been a couple beautiful examples of that this weekend. Just yesterday, we had another adult be confirmed and enter into full communion with the church, recognizing that on their own power, they can't be saved, that they need the church because they need Christ, and Christ is in the church's sacraments. After the 10 a.m. Mass today, we'll have two babies baptized. Again, another example of a family recognizing these babies need something more than just themselves to be saved. While they are very small in stature today, someday they'll grow up, but they still need to be little in their hearts. We must be completely dependent on the church because I can't interpret Scripture by myself. I don't know what the Scripture is always saying. I need the church for that. I can't generate Christian community by myself. I need the church for that. And I can't just arrive at Jesus by myself. I need the sacraments of the church. I need baptism, confirmation, the Holy Eucharist especially, the sacrament of reconciliation. The last thing I'll say about this, on this topic of salvation, on eschatological topics, right? Death, judgment, heaven, and hell. It's this. It's that a lot of people think that if you're not saved, or if a person would go to hell, it's because they're a great sinner. Because they've done something really bad. And those are the only people that won't be saved. And that's sort of true. But I'll say this, there's no sin that's beyond God's mercy. The sacrifice that Christ made for us on the cross is powerful enough to forgive any sin. And so it's not that someone would be too great a sinner and that they wouldn't be saved. It's that in their sin, they couldn't be little. They couldn't recognize their dependence upon God and ask for his mercy. They couldn't turn to him in the sacrament of reconciliation to be humble and little and to recognize that they just needed to be forgiven. If they do that, the Lord is powerful enough to save them. But it's a little harder if they don't turn, if they don't make that humble move and recognize that they're dependent upon God, dependent upon his church, and the mercy that flows through her. And so today we have the beautiful example, the paradigm of this, if you will, of the second person of the Trinity who became man, Jesus Christ our Lord, to save us, and who remains with us, little, and a little host. We take him into our very selves, praying that we too might be little, recognizing our dependence upon God, and so becoming little ourselves so that we might enter through the narrow gate.